Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So what do you think Jesus looks like? What do you think Jesus looks like? Now, I'm sure that's probably a question that at least most of us at one point or another in our lives have considered. What does Jesus look like? And I think many of us probably have a really good idea, maybe a good impression of what he may have looked like. Certainly there are many paintings, drawings, icons, other things. The Renaissance artists surely had their views on what Jesus looked like and produced some of the world's greatest art depicting as such. Well, the reality of that question, though, is that the New Testament doesn't really tell us what the appearance of Jesus actually was. It doesn't tell us exactly what he looked like. And surely, it isn't too important. Though, in the Old Testament, Isaiah the prophet gives us a really good, detailed description of what the Savior of the world would look like. This is what Isaiah says. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as of one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. That is the best description of Jesus' appearance that we have in the Bible. So what did Jesus look like? He looked like a suffering servant. He looked like a king who was crowned with a crown of thorns and enthroned upon a cross. This is the same Jesus, the same King, the only Son of God who spoke to the people in Capernaum that day in Mark chapter 1 that we just heard. And when they heard this suffering servant, the one who had no form or beauty or majesty, they were astonished. Now, I gotta tell you, this is what I love about the Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark gets directly to the point. This is in chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark gets right to the point, and there is an urgency to what Mark was inspired to write by God. Now, I often get asked by either new Christians or those who have perhaps struggled with reading the Bible or understanding the Bible, where should I start? Where should I start reading the Bible? I don't really know how to read the Bible. Well, I'll tell you that I never advise someone to start reading in Genesis. Don't start reading at page 1. Don't go there. Nor do I recommend even starting at page 1 of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. I remember as a fairly new Christian receiving this advice to start reading at the Gospel of Mark and how incredibly valuable that was. So if you ever have anybody ask you, or if perhaps you yourself struggle with reading and understanding Scripture, the words that Jesus said, the things that he did, the meaning of this one book, starting at the Gospel of Mark is a really good place. It gets straight to the point. In fact, the word immediately is used 12 times in the first 3 chapters of the Gospel of Mark. So clearly, we are to understand that there is an urgency to what Jesus said and what he did. The Gospel of Mark gets to the point. And in our passage today, the point is that Jesus immediately taught with authority in an astonishing way. And even the demons recognize this and know who he is. So those newly called disciples that we read about last week, Andrew, Simon, James, and John, the fishermen, have followed Jesus now into Capernaum, and together they all go immediately into the synagogue, and Jesus begins to teach. And all of the people that were in the synagogue that day, every single one of them, were astonished at Jesus' teaching with this authority. This suffering servant, again, who had no form or beauty, is speaking words that have mesmerized every listener that was there that day in ways that they had never heard before. You know, there are more than one time when I read scripture, there's lots of times actually that I am envious when I read scripture, envious of those who are in with Jesus. I know I shouldn't be envious reading scripture, but how amazing would it have been to be there with Jesus and Andrew and Simon and James and John and all the others present in the synagogue that day? How amazing would it have been to be there that day to hear Jesus teaching with all authority from heaven and from his own divinity? These words of amazement, these words of authority. How amazing would it have been to have been there? To be present that day surely would have been a life-changing experience, and I think it was for many of them. And I think as it is for many of us here now. When we hear the words of Jesus, the words that he speaks with authority and power and wisdom, we're changed. We can't help but be changed. And we know that his word is true. And we know that his word accomplishes his purposes. That his word drives out demons. That his word cleanses lepers. That his word forgives our sins. And we can be confident that his word is amazing, authoritative, and true, and it has an urgency that is full of the promises and fulfillment of the law and the prophets before him. We can read this word, and we can be humble before our Lord in the reading of his word. We can wonder, yes, we can wonder at his word and declare with absolute confidence then that the good news of Jesus Christ comes from his holy name, from his presence, and with his very own authority. While Jesus was there teaching in the synagogue that day with his authoritative word, there was a man with an unclean spirit. And the unclean spirit inside of him cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Even the demons know the name, the voice, and the authority of Jesus." Now, this is a very important inclusion to notice. And this is not the only place in the New Testament where we read about this. The Epistle of James says that even the demons believe and shudder. This demon, this first demon that we see Jesus coming across, knows that Jesus has come to earth and is on a mission from heaven, mission to make the world right through himself and to lay waste to the entire demonic power structure. Jesus rebuked the demon with his power and his authority, with his word. "Be silent, come out of him." So then we see that Jesus' first clash with Satan's minions following the temptation is a no contest event. The demon is cast out and is gone. This is the authority of his word. He spoke the word and it happened. And then after this amazing miracle, this exorcism that was performed, once again, we read that every single person that was present there that day in the synagogue was in complete amazement. The authority, friends, of Jesus' word goes deep, deeper than we can ever imagine. And then it spreads far and wide and quickly. This display of who Jesus is and what he says and what he does is astonishing, not because it's a display of his grandeur, not at all, but because Jesus is the power of redemption for sinners and those held captive. This man who was esteemed not, Jesus, despised and rejected, without form or beauty, has ushered in God's upside-down kingdom, and he has done it with an amazing authority. And yes, we may be envious that we weren't present during some of these amazing things that Jesus accomplished. We weren't present there with the listeners in the synagogue that day. We can make no mistake. We have the authoritative word of God with us every day. And we have the calling of God in each one of our lives to speak the same authoritative words that will amaze and astonish people. And we understand that there is indeed an urgency to this good news. There is an urgency to the gospel. Because Jesus came into the world in the perfection of time. He preached, taught, and spoke words of authority. He performed great miracles, all before being falsely accused, arrested, beaten, and tortured by those in power. That he died a sinner's death that humanity deserved. But he bodily rose from the grave on the third day, and then he ascended 50 days later to rule and reign at the right hand of God for eternity. Because of this, we are able to follow the good news in the same way, knowing that the way of the gospel is the way of the cross. And we are to take up our cross daily and follow him. As Christians, as those who believe in salvation through Jesus Christ, we have been called to follow him. And we have been commissioned by Jesus to go out into the world with the same authority and urgency to preach the gospel, to make disciples, to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we do this despite the demons, despite the unclean spirits, and despite Satan's minions that attempt to distract us and persuade us and pull us off course every step of the way. But we know by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are equipped to face down our own demons of sin, shame, of not living up to expectations. We are able to face the demons of those who have sinned against us in unthinkable ways, by thought, word, and deed. And we are able then to look forward with a living hope that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am a sinner. Beloved, may we never lose the authority and power of the words of Scripture that are right, are true, and are just. In everything that that we do and say through our worship, through our study, through our service, through missions and ministry, and even through our building. The one true gospel of Jesus Christ absolutely has an urgency. It is astonishing, and it is authoritative. Amen.